Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Hey everybody, very, very happy to have you join me for another episode of Everyday Spirituality with Marge Fenelon, and of course I'm your host, Marge Steinhage Fenelon. Here today, we're going to try something a little different. So I've tried something a little different. Earlier, a few hours ago, I put something on my Facebook page asked people, what's on your heart and mind? I said, I'm going to be recording another episode of my podcast, what's on your heart and mind? And it was interesting because a number of people came forward and gave ideas, and I'd like to address those as best as I can, one by one, but I'm seeing that there are some that go together. So let's start first with the ones that go together. So there were three folks who talked about or asked about balance. So being a working mom or balancing parenthood and work and family and so on. But they were asked in different ways, but pretty much boiled down to the same thing. And that same thing is finding balance. Wow, that's a big topic. And I don't pretend to know everything about that. I don't know that I'm always the most perfectly balanced person in terms of work and family and other obligations, etc. But I do have a tool that I can share with you that I think will be very helpful in this finding balance. No matter what, if you're a mom or a dad or a single person, I think today's lifestyle and the expectations that are put on us in, I would say, most cases by employers, the expectations are sometimes unrealistic, I think. Always producing more for less pay, and you've heard it all. There's lots of complaints out there. We're under a lot of pressure. The media pressures us. Large companies pressure us. On and on. We're pressured. And it's difficult when we're being pulled in many directions at once to try to figure out, what am I really supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to be doing it? And most importantly of all, what does God want me to be doing with my time? I ask that. Oh, I know I ask that every single day. I'm sure I do. Because it's easy to get distracted. And I think of so many different things and so many different needs and so on. But let's get to the tool that I have for you. I'd like to share this with you because it's something that I have implemented in my life, and I know many, many people, hundreds of people, thousands of people actually, who do this same thing. So this idea is called personal ideal. Personal ideal. This is a concept that I have learned from the Schoenstatt spirituality to which I belonged actually most of my life. In the apostolic movement of Schoenstatt, what we are taught and encouraged to do is to form a personal ideal. So not idea, but ideal with an L at the end. And what this is, I'll start with the big concept and then work it down a little bit so you can better understand and implement that. Your personal ideal is the image God had of you when He created you, had original sin never touched your soul. Now, some people talk about best image of yourself, and that's similar. It's similar. What we're talking about here is how God created you to be and who you are yet becoming. So your personal ideal takes into account how God made you in every different respect. So your personality, even your temperament, your faults and shortcomings, your gifts for sure, and talents, your desires, your dreams, what inspires you, what motivates you, how you're motivated and inspired, how you are even discouraged. All of these things, even your physical abilities, this is all part of who you are. Who you are. And it's formed into this personal ideal, which is discerned after much prayer and self-examination, contemplation, and dialogue with God. Who are you asking me to become? Who am I really? So you can even make yourself a little flowchart or diagram, if you will, of all of these things, your faults and your gifts and your talents and so on, your skills, all of that. And look at this and pray over it and allow it to come to you, the image, who this person is. And then we form this image, this ideal, into a name, or a better way to put it might be a personal mission statement. That's kind of a buzzword that was really big in the pop psychology books that were coming out some time ago. But still, it's this personal mission statement. It's what you call yourself. It's the name that rings true to you, not like a name like Jane or Ralph or so on and so forth. But it's an image. So let me give you an example. A person who, and I'm just throwing this out here, doesn't have anything to do with anybody I know, and it's probably not even the best example because I'm thinking off the top of my head. But say you're a very giving person and you like to reach out to others. The image that I have, at least, of a person like that would be a tree. A tree, maybe even a fruit tree. It's just an image. Do you understand? And so you think of yourself, say, as God's. All right. Let's say the apple tree in God's orchard. All right. Now that's really hokey. I admit it, but you understand the idea. You want to work with it so that it becomes something meaningful to you, something beautiful to you, something that makes your heart sing and that reminds you of all that you are and all that you are becoming through the grace of God. That's your personal ideal. Now, each person's personal ideal is completely different from anyone else's in the world. Each is absolutely unique. And so you may have someone who associates with that image of a tree, that's symbolic for them, for their personal ideal. You may have hundreds of people who picture that, but it's going to be different each time. All right. If you can't get into the image idea, if you can't get into the image, then try a short motto. So, you know, St. John Paul II, totus tuus, totally yours. All right, that was his. I don't know for a fact, but I would guess that if he had discovered a personal ideal for himself, then that would either be it entirely or have something to do with it. Totally yours, totally belonging to Mary. See, something like that. That's what you're looking for. This personal ideal, which defines you, describes you, and here's how it becomes an important tool for finding balance and for all that you do in your life. Your personal ideal is the answer to every question you will ever ask yourself about what you should do, where you should do it, how you should act, and what you should not do. Because whenever something comes up, now let's take it back to this question of finding balance. You've got all these obligations. Which of these obligations truly belong to you? I know that sounds weird, but think about the times that you put an obligation on yourself because you think you should do it, or someone wants you to do it. Or you want to be like someone else, so you want to do this or that. Maybe you have a friend who volunteers for, I don't know, some organization, and they do a lot of good. And you think, I would love to be like that. I want to try that. Or I should do that. Yeah, well, maybe that doesn't fit with your personal ideal. So maybe that's not part of what you should or could be doing according to God's image of you. So does it fit with my personal ideal? Does it fit with who I am and where God has put me in my life? That's your first question. And so when you're trying to look for balance, what you're needing to do is to fish out the things that don't belong, the things and the obligations that don't belong. Now, a couple of the questions at least asked me about parenting and finding balance with the parenting or being a working parent, working mom, working dad. Okay, here's how that works. I understand that there are important reasons that it's necessary for a number of people to have both parents working when you have little ones. I understand that. Or even if you have just one parent working outside of the house, everybody works. I know that. if you have one only one parent working outside the house, still it's up to that one parent who is leaving the house to try to figure out, oh my goodness, how do I give enough time to the kids, to the house, to the, you know, so on and so forth. All right, but here's where personal ideal is so helpful. Because you can't be every parent to your child. You can't be every spouse to your husband or wife. And what I mean by that is, what you need to focus on is the gifts that God has given you. That's what you need to focus on. What is most important for you to give to your family based on your personal ideal? You know, I could walk into our home at any given time and I could immediately see, I really think, 100 things that would need to be done, maybe even immediately. Because the work's never done around here. It's like most houses, most households, the work is never done. All right. But I could look and I could see 100 things. Oh, I should be doing that and that and that needs to be done. This other thing needs to be done. And I forgot to do that. And so I don't know if you play this game with yourself, but I certainly do. But what stops me from going crazy and trying to do everything at once, or then ending up exhausted and not doing anything, is to choose what fits in with my personal ideal. What is it that I need to do that no one else can do? What's the primary thing here that God is asking of me? That's how that works. That's personal ideal. And you renew this every single day. Once you come up with that little motto, that little personal mission statement, make that part of your morning prayer. Make it part of your morning consecration. And offer yourself to God. Offer yourself to our Blessed Mother as such and such. Repeat that personal ideal. And ask God to give you the grace to live that ideal, your personal ideal, as perfectly as possible throughout the day. That's what you're looking for. That will help you find balance. Now, does that mean that you're not going to have crazy times? No, it doesn't. Absolutely not. But it gives you a baseline to keep going back to. And if someone asks something new of you, then that's where you go to decide whether you're going to say yes or no. Does it fit with my personal ideal? Does it fit with who I am as a mother, as a spouse, as a father, as, you know, so on, so forth. A brother, a sister, whatever it is. That's your baseline. So there's the tool. There's the tool in terms of finding balance. And if you find you're overcommitted, you look at the things that you're committed to and what you're going to start chucking first is that which does not fit or fits least perfectly with your personal ideal. Try it. Email me questions if you have questions. Marge Fenelon, marge@margefenelon.com. That's my email address. Go to my website, margefenelon.com. There's a contact form. And I will be very happy to answer you, maybe point you to resources that can help you with this. But really try it. Really try it. Now, I want to go on to some of these other questions because I think they're important, the ones that were mentioned to me on Facebook. One of them mentioned parenting during heartbreak. Parenting during heartbreak. That's tough. That's really tough. So if we've had the death of a loved one or a terrible family crisis or a personal crisis, and you have to go on parenting. Of course you do. You can't quit parenting, not for any reason. But this idea of parenting during heartbreak, we've had our times in our family, in Fenland Clan. We've had our times of serious heartbreak. So one of the times that I go back to when people ask me about this kind of thing, parenting during heartbreak, I go back to the time when our fourth child was born prematurely, and we came within a millimeter of losing him. It was pretty desperate. It's a very desperate situation. Almost lost him. As a matter of fact, three of our four children were born prematurely, and two of those three we almost lost. In fact, one of our children actually died three times. Poor little Tyke was lights out, and they were able to resuscitate, do CPR and resuscitate the child. You can tell I get a little choked up when I think about it. In any case, the fourth child, the reason I want to use that as an example is because by the time the fourth child came along, I had a 10-year-old, a 7.5-year-old, and a 5-year-old. So these kids were old enough to understand that something was really wrong. They could see that mom and dad were barely able to function. They could feel our heartbreak. And how did we continue parenting? Here's the advice I would give any parent in a situation where you're dealing with heartbreak and needing yet to go on as an effective parent. We allowed ourselves time to cry away from the children, time to grieve away from the children. Not always possible, but if you can manage it, even a short walk. We also allowed ourselves to cry in front of the children. Because here's the thing about parents grieving or suffering, well, it's the same thing, suffering heartbreak. If we don't show our children how to deal with heartbreak, they're not going to know when they become adults. You see? So there's no harm in allowing our children to see us suffer from heartbreak. That's not what's harmful. What can be harmful is if we give up and our children know it and we allow our children to see it. Or if we become resentful toward God, we start cursing God, we start fighting against what's going on. What it takes at that point is heroic obedience. Heroic obedience to God's will. It's okay to share your heartbreak. But you also have to share your struggle to keep going on. And you have to show that you are trusting in God. And that is the most important part of that. And again, this idea of personal ideal will help you out. Because you go back to that, and you go back to that, and that those are my gifts, and this is what I'm called to do, and so on and so forth. That will help you. That'll pull you along. Because heartbreak is a reality, and our kids are going to suffer heartbreak at some time in their lives. And they have to know how to handle it. And what it ultimately ends up in is obedience to God's will. Now, it's providential that this question came up just as we're facing the Feast of the Visitation. May 31st is the Feast of the Visitation. Here is a great example of complete obedience and this idea of personal ideal. So, what is the visitation? It is when our Blessed Mother after receiving word from the angel Gabriel that she was to become the mother of God and giving her yes, what did Gabriel also tell her? Also said, by the way, your elderly cousin Elizabeth is in her sixth month. Mary knew immediately that would mean that she was needed to help Elizabeth. That's why that was told to her. So I don't know what the Blessed Mother's personal ideal is, but she knows, she knew, and obviously it had something to do with serving, because that's immediately what she did. She left and she made that 70-mile journey through very tough terrain. Even traveling by caravan, this would have been very rough. I mean, she's newly pregnant. Who feels great when they're newly pregnant? Not too many. Not too many. So she's going, and, you know, think of what she had to leave, all right? She's leaving this betrothed. She's leaving her betrothed. She's leaving St. Joseph behind, considering divorcing her, with kind of a mess there because she has no way to explain her pregnancy to her beloved. Yikes, huh? Can you imagine? And then she's going to travel with this group of people. It doesn't say that anyone she knew accompanied her. So we're assuming that she went on her own. Now remember, she was under threat of being stoned to death. I'd like to talk about that some other time in another podcast, because that's really important to go back to. But she was under threat because she was not yet fully married. She was betrothed to Joseph, but they had not solidified that marriage. They had not had the marriage, the actual marriage ritual yet. So by most standards, she was an unwed mother. She was betrothed, but she was not fully wed. In those days, a woman caught in adultery, which is what Mary would have been accused of, would be stoned to death. All right, so she's facing that as well. So think of yourself when you're, you know, trying to find balance and you've got all this stuff weighing on your shoulders. So here's Mary with all this stuff weighing on her shoulders. And she goes, and it's a physically tough journey. I have no doubt it was an emotionally tough journey, probably spiritually tough, as she grappled for the meaning of everything that was going on and worked deeper into her trust of God. But obedience, you know, she obeyed. She went regardless of her own hesitations or worries or any threats to her, any hardships. She went. Obedience to go and serve Elizabeth. That's heroic obedience. That's the kind of heroic obedience that we need when living our personal ideal. I know everything I've got weighing on my shoulders. I know I'm being pulled here and there. I know my heart is breaking. But even above and beyond all that, what I'm called to do is obey God in trust. Because God is not going to ask you to do something that is detrimental to your soul. He's not. Because he wants you with him in heaven. And so when I think of our Blessed Mother during this time of the visitation and going to visit and serve Elizabeth, and I would think there's a good chance that she also was hoping for some counsel from Elizabeth, from her older, wiser cousin in her predicament. She goes to serve, and when she greets Elizabeth, and Elizabeth greets her. What does Mary say? She speaks her Magnificat. If you have never read the Magnificat, please do so, especially during those times. Especially during those times when you feel overwhelmed, like you just cannot go on. Because Mary's Magnificat, that beautiful prayer at greeting Elizabeth, this is also our prayer, or should be our prayer. Because what she does is she takes everything and turns it back to God and realizes that she is the instrument of God. That's what you and I are. We are the instruments of God. And so I'm going to end this podcast. I'm looking right now for this. It's in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And verse 38, 39, thereabouts. I don't have it right in front of me, but I do have a copy of the prayer. And that's what I want to end with, because this is what I'm hoping will ring in your hearts as you face these questions of balance, of parenting during heartbreak, and all of the things, all of the questions that plague you and the burdens. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaid. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has shown might with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the conceit of their heart. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has given help to Israel, his servant, mindful of his mercy, even as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He who is mighty will do great things through you. I have no doubt. God bless you, my friends. Please like this podcast. Share it with others. Please go to my Facebook page. Like my Facebook page, Marge Steinhag Fenelon. You could find me on Twitter, Marge Steinfen. Also Instagram, Marge Steinfen. And my website, margefenelon.com. I urge you to subscribe, so you can receive my newsletters and other interesting bulletins and items that I periodically send out. And write back to me. I'd like to hear from you. Until then, may our Lord God bless you and Mother Mary protect you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.